Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the captain, Jack Barry.
Yes, sir.
Captain, it's good to see you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
It was an interesting Friday. I went to this skills competition, and it was at one of the technical colleges here in Tacoma, representing my company.
Okay.
And pretty interesting stuff. Got in for free, and then somehow, dude, high school is so much weird now. And compared
just to quote, Jack Barry, to the quote, 2024, high school is so much weird now.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me why.
Like, there's just way, like, kids have so much friggin' opportunity today. It's not even fair.
Okay.
There's so much you could do that it's just like not even funny.
See,
like,
there are some people that would say the exact opposite. So tell me what all this opportunity is. Yeah.
So there's literally like companies that are sponsoring kids to like perform maintenance on like vehicles and basically doing all these skills tests.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And if you skill high enough, you can like basically, it's almost like any kind of like sporting event. Like you can go to like nationals or regionals.
Oh, cool.
Or da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can like earn all these awards and merits and blah blah blah. And it's just like, there's so much opportunity to just go to these places and be like, hey, can I do like an apprenticeship with you guys? Mm-hmm. And they'd probably say yes, because everybody's desperate for people right now.
Right.
So it's just crazy.
Dude, apprenticeships in the trades, man. That's what's happening right now. That's the future. That's the job. Like, I think our generation might have been some of the last to where like the traditional route was graduate high school, go to college, get a job.
Yeah.
That's not how it is right now, man. And I think we're slowly moving away from that. And
yeah, my company's absolutely doing that. We've been doing our apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
For, I think it's like a 1 or 2 years now. And it's like real, it's like, we've already had like over 1200 graduates, I want to say, out of that.
Yeah.
And so it's just way better. It's just, you don't incur debt. You basically earn as you learn.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff like that. I think that's the future of things.
It is, man. It's the way to go. You know, like the vast majority of my local church is all blue collar. We're like, you know, plumbers, electricians, general contractors, and like the trades are exploding. They really are. And if you have the ability to stick out the apprentice, like, you know, a couple of years as being an apprentice, bro, it is, you will be just fine.
Yeah, seriously.
It's the way to go. I wish when I was in high school, I wish somebody would have told me, hey, out of high school, become an electrician or become, you know, dude, you know, the job, welder.
become a flipping welder. Those guys make so much money. And
I would have loved to kind of look at apprenticeships once I got out of the Army, but there was like literally nobody that there was no support system structure that we have now back in, you know, the mid 2010s.
Yeah.
To like make that happen. And it's just, it's crazy.
It's crazy times. Crazy times. Well, my friend, it's okay. That's, you know, the Lord, we made our decisions and the Lord works through our decisions just as he does everyone else's and praise his name for that. So, Jack, my friend, before we talk about, awesome things, joyful things, why don't you continue our joy and give us this week's reformatory cigar of the week? What do you got for us?
Ladies and gentlemen, as we are at the last week of March, this, if you partake in Holy Week, so to say,
yes,
the last week before we have Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, the last week of my father, marches for my father. This one is another doozy that I picked up. This is the My Father La Opulencia. La Opulencia. You kind of have to like...
La Opulencia.
Yeah, you got to do some little mouth movements
some
there.
Little mouth movements. You have to say it as...
To make your tongue
right. Say it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. It is in the Toro sizing.
Nice.
This is a... Basically, this is a combination of a couple different tobaccos. The fillers are Nicaraguan. Mm-hmm. There's two fillers that are Nicaraguan in this. The wrapper is San Andreas, Mexican San Andreas. And then the... Let's see. So you got the wrapper, the fillers, and then the binders as well are Nicaraguan as well, too. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple binders. There's like a combination binder that they use that's Nicaraguan as well, too. So it's like a Nicaraguan-Mexican combination here. Basically, La Opulencia is like opulent. It means the opulent cigar. So they tried to make this within that kind of frame. Has a really good kind of earthy, chocolatey, cocoa kind of mix. always with these cigar tasting notes has a hint of nougat.
Mm. Okay. Oh, does it?
Okay. Okay.
Nougat.
This isn't Milky Way for crying out loud, people. But get out of here. You know, like, this is so dumb.
It's like, who made this? Hershey? This is a Cadbury cigar?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This was actually number two in the top 25 cigars of 2018. It was ranked number two.
Nice.
Back in 2018. It has consistently rated over 93 points. Mm. It is, the most current rating is 95 points.
Yeah.
MSRP on this guy, anywhere from $11 to $13, people.
Nice.
For a Toro.
Nice mid-range. Right in there.
So
that's good stuff.
Yeah. So that is the last cigar of marches for my father. It is the My Father La Opulencia Toro. So
there it is.
Have at it, people.
Well, Jack, as always, my friend, well done with the business. You are a true gentleman, a true scholar. So we thank you for your work. Friends, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack, my friend, before we hop into our topic today, we have a little bit more of the business because we have an individual whose name needs to be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. They have joined the ranks of the all-access Reformatory Patreon. The name is Larry DeBold. Larry DeBold. Dude. I kind of like that last name because it sounds
quite bold.
Dude,
you,
I was going to say,
bold.
I like the last name because it sounds like it's Larry the Bold, which would be sick name. Larry, if you haven't yet, you got to do something with that last name, man. You know, like turn it into, you know how some people get, like they'll find their family, what do they call them? Their family crest or something like that. Like there's websites you can type it in and get your, you need to get your family crest and then put Larry the Bold underneath it. That would be so cool.
I thought you were going to say you need to do something with your last name, and that is to now make like basically a tool company. Just call it DeBole.
Dude, that actually would be legit too. Yeah, yeah. Talking about, look at Jack, just giving it away.
People.
Giving it away, dude. I would trust DeBole, like, drills. Dude,
that's that sounds like a trusted name brand.
Oh, it 100% does. Yeah. DeBold, dude. Yeah, come on. Anyway, Larry, my friend, we thank you. You have joined the ranks of the Podluck, and in doing so, are receiving all the benefits and rights thereunto. And my friends, you should do the same. Join Larry. Join the countless others that have joined the Podluck and are getting exclusive content, bonus episodes, video content, reformatory chat. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time. If you have a spare $5 a month, that's all it is. It's $5 a month. If you got a spare $5, just head on over to Patreon. Give us a little follow and enjoy all the benefits. So Larry DeBold, my friend, our pledge to you has been fulfilled and your name has been hallowed.
It's been hallowed, sir.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. We thank you, Larry. You are a legend. And I would buy your tools if you ever get into the tool business. 100%. Right now. All right, Jack. Dude, I just got done with perhaps one of my favorite things about being a pastor. There's a lot of things that I love about being a pastor. Okay? So many things that bring me joy. Today, I got to experience one of those things that's dare I say, near the very top of that list. And I got to visit a family in our local church that just had a little baby. They just had a little baby boy. Dude, he's like 3 weeks old. No, he's not even that yet. He's like 2 weeks old. This tiny little baby, dude, and he's so precious, so beautiful. There's nothing that, like, will get me, like, just giddy, like, seeing just the little kids in our church, dude. It brings me so much joy. Dad and mom are doing great. You know what they named this kid?
I saw from your social media, they named him Tyndale.
Tyndale, dude.
It's pretty impressive.
That's
name.
A baller name.
Pretty impressive name.
That name, dude. This kid is destined for greatness with that name.
Let's hope that his namesake doesn't get him like tied up to a stake somewhere.
No.
You know, none of that stuff.
Dude.
I'm not trying to put an omen out
no,
there.
No, please kid. Don't. Yeah. But dude, when I saw the name, they're like, we named him Tyndale. I was like, yes. Shoot it right into my veins, dude. I love that. So little baby Tyndale, dude. He's so cute. He's such a cute little kid, and I love seeing our local church grow. Definitely as the Lord brings people into the church, but there's a special joy that sees it grow from the inside. That you see all these little kids being born and little kids being brought up in the local church. Jack, I'll tell you, man, there's not much that brings my heart more joy than that. Which is kind of the inspiration for this episode, is the importance of setting aside time within the local church for joy. Things that bring you joy. And this is important whether you're in the ministry or whether you aren't. Right. Being part of a local church, right, brings many, I would say, emotions, many benefits, and many hardships. Right. But one of the primary things that being part of a local church should bring into your life is joy. Yeah. It should be a joyful experience. Now, both Jack and I have experienced, situations where that is not the case. And I'm sure many listening can attest to that as well. There are definitely many times within the local church context where it is not joyful. Whether it's just a particular season that you're going through, or whether the church yourself, the church itself is not doing well and not going the way that it should, it can result in not a lot of joy and a lot of heartache and anxiety and things of that sort. So. That is very true. It's a very true thing. Both Jack and I have experienced that, I would say, possibly more than perhaps the average churchgoer. But That does not negate the fact that both Jack and I would confess wholeheartedly that the local church, when acting and when I would say, when running correctly, mm-hmm. should be a great source of joy to the Christian. Yeah. And that's just something we want to talk about today, the importance of that and how you can be, you know, seeking those joyful experiences within your local church. So, Jack, I want to throw it over to you first and just ask you the simple question. For you right now, what is bringing you joy in your local church?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think right now it's a combination of a couple different things. I think part of it is raising a child within the local church. Mm. That's something that I was never brought up with, that I see the immense blessing of it now, being a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like my son seeing all these interactions and relationships and people that care for him. Mm-hmm. I think that brings me a lot of joy. I think also just the church members taking care of each other as well, too. There's just like what you were talking about in people having kids. Like we've had, I think we've had like an immense amount of kids be born within the last year. Well, in the last couple of years that we've been at our local church now, so including my son. And so it's, I think it's just that. I think it's just seeing, I think it's seeing other fathers as well too, and you kind of bouncing stuff off of them. It's kind of helping out those families too. I mean, we do, my wife and I sign up for meal trains every time a new family has a new baby. I just visited one of our members. They had their son and they had a little bit of complication with him when he was born, but then he kind of had to spend some time in the NICU and he was fine. But it's just stuff like that. And I think also something that's really bringing me joy as well too, is just the fact that I'm getting kind of mentored, I would say, in my local church by like our pastors and other men. I have never experienced that very well.
Sure.
In local churches. And I'm in a group where it's just a time in which we invest in studying the word, studying hermeneutics, studying theology to be raised up, hopefully to be either deacons or elders or something along those lines. And so I share just like my story of coming to faith and just how it's been really, my life has not been easy. To confine and to have other brothers confine in you in those ways, but also encourage you in many different ways to actually like share that, like you're an integral part of the local church. I don't think I've ever had that said to me before. And so to have those things said to you is really joyful, to know that people care for you in these various ways and just don't take you for granted.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that it's immensely joyful that we are studying the word and we're gathering together and we're fellowshipping together. And I just, you know, in a time where we're in a middle school right now, meeting in a middle school for Lord's Day service and stuff like that, I think a lot of people bailed on it because of the fact that it's a middle school and they didn't want to do that. Which is kind of, you know, a little bit upsetting, I guess, but, you know, to one side of it as well too, I think that it's showing a level of, trying to seek the Lord's will, but also trying to serve, in what many cases people would say, don't go there, don't go to a public school and try to partner with them and team up for them. We just did a work day at the public school that we worship at, to where we basically got out some pressure washers and we weeded places and we put new flowers and new sod down and everything like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Gravel. So it's like, you know, a place where there's the hot button issue is like, you know, do you send your kids to public school or not? You know, is a place where we are serving a public school and want kids in the public school to know Jesus and to know the gospel. And so I think that that brings me a lot of joy to where a lot of people just wouldn't do that and would just say, why would we do that? Like, why would we sacrifice being in a established building to go do that, mm-hmm. to be like a set up, tear down church again? But, I don't know. It's bringing me a lot of joy. Mainly because we have one service and that's it.
Right.
Like, the whole church is gathered at one service.
That's dude. That's that right there.
That brings me a lot of joy.
Oh, that is huge, man. That's huge. Right. And we've talked about the multi-service model, on this podcast before and how neither Jack and I are huge fans of it. But dude, like when you come from a multi-service model, you know, and, you know, sometimes just out of necessity, because you're trying to figure out what do we do with all these people that the Lord has brought to our church. Right. But when you're able finally to go to one service, bro, that, and you get to see everyone and you get to hear the people sing that's a level of joy. That's pretty legit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on in our church and, you know, my life that I think that's bringing me a lot of joy. I think also just the fact too that the Lord blessed me with a different position after being laid off last.
Yeah, that's huge.
At the end of last kind of summertime area when, you know, a month after my son Theo was born, was, I think that's bringing me a lot of joy too.
Yep.
And just, the fact that there's a lot of affirmation that goes on in my work of them seeing like what I put into it and what relationships I'm trying to establish and get going for our company here in Washington State. That's pretty big where I don't think I had that at any other place or at least be like affirmed in, acknowledged in those ways.
No, for sure, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, those are all legitimate things. I think, you know, for me, obviously, you know, what I've already mentioned, you know, getting to see our church kind of grow from the inside, you know, slow but sure, and getting just to interact with families that are in these, you know, brand new stages of life. You know, you go from having no kids and it's just you and your wife to, you have a kid now. Changes everything, right? Changes the entire dynamic of life, you know, and getting to help, you know, for different families, getting to help, you know, shepherd through, you know, help them with that. Right. And be like, hey, how are you communicating with each other? How, you know, how's, you know, life, you know, figuring out the different dynamics. What are the things that you need both spiritually and practically? Right. There's a lot of joy that comes from that. I do get legitimate joy from counseling and helping folks within my local church. Now, obviously, there's a lot of situations that aren't joyful, right? That are very hard and very difficult, right? But seeing how the hope of the gospel and the very practical nature of the Word of God, seeing how that transcends our circumstances and the things that we go through and really brings change, it will never cease to amaze me, and it'll never cease to bring me joy, because I know that that work is not something that comes from me.
Yeah.
And being able to see tangibly in real time how the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God to somebody's life. I mean, you've experienced that too. Like there's nothing better than that. It's the amount of joy that comes from that is just huge, and I absolutely love it. You know, we've talked about the guys' nights and the men's ministry and the opportunities that come from that, and even, you know, opportunities for further, you know, one-on-one conversation that comes from guys' nights. You know, you're talking to a bunch of guys, and pretty soon you're hitting it off, and hey, let's get together this week for coffee, or let's get together, you know, for lunch and chat. I want to get to know you a little better, right? Stuff like that. It's so much fun, and it brings a lot of joy, right? Just getting to be able to, you know, kind of along your lines, we just recently switched locations also. The location that we were at just wasn't very conducive to us anymore. I would say that we were starting to to outgrow it. We were starting to feel it a little bit. And then just with rent and stuff like that, it was just not very feasible. So we ended up doing a deal with the local community center, in which we basically blocked out every Sunday of the year, which was a huge blessing for us. And dude, so like just having everyone in there, right? Mm-hmm. The acoustics in that room, this is just going to be something small that brings me joy. Dude, it rings. And when you get people singing in that room, and if the musicians drop out, right, of maybe the end of a song or a chorus of the song and just let the vocals do what they do, bro, those moments on the Lord's Day, like I'm literally getting goosebumps now. It is a little taste of heaven. It's just a little taste of what heaven is going to be like. And the amount of joy that I get from that, it almost gets me giddy. You know, when it happens, I'm like looking around like, oh, this is awesome. This is so exciting. You hear everybody, right? one little thing. Again, these are so specific, but I think that's kind of the point, right? Like these are all very specific things. We've got one family in our church who has a couple kids, and their oldest girl, I want to say she's probably 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, I think. And dude, when she knows a song that we're singing, she is the loudest one. She's the loudest one. And sometimes when I'll be leading music, dude, I can hear her above everyone else. And when that happens, dude, it puts the biggest smile on my face. Just hearing this little kid like sing her heart out to Jesus, man. It is so cool. But yeah, those are just some little things. So Jack, you know, I think it's really important, you know, as you know, obviously as we're having this conversation with each other, mm-hmm. we hope that it's spurring those types of thoughts in those that are listening, right? Now, those that are listening to the podcast are running through their mind, what are the things that are bringing you joy in the local church, right? What are those little moments or those situations or those events or those gatherings that you find really increase the joy that you have within the local church? Because kind of going back to what we said at the beginning, it should be a joyful experience. Sometimes it's not, and we acknowledge that. Those are real times. But when functioning correctly, it should be joyful, right? And I think, Jack, we don't do a good enough job, and I know I'm guilty of this, of pressing into that joy and perhaps even setting aside time to emphasize the things that bring us joy within the local church. And sometimes it's as simple as, you know, scheduling a time to be with somebody that encourages you in the local church, right? Or setting aside a time to be an encouragement to somebody else, right? Finding those moments within the local church to sit in the joy, right? I think, I don't know about you, man, but I know this is something that I struggle with. I struggle with feeling that I'm not progressing in, like, you know, whether it be sanctification, or I'm not progressing, I'm not growing if it's not hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not torturous. Now, I do think that there are some, I do think there is truth that, you know, we learn dependence upon Christ, I would say, more so in the hard times than the good. I think that's just a natural thing for humans, right? But I think we can tend to emphasize that to the detriment of putting a massive importance on joy, right?
Yeah.
And I think you, again, I'll throw it back over to you. I think you even touched on this either last ep or two eps ago when you were talking about the difference, kind of the pendulum swings between stoicism and then
stoicism and hedonism.
And hedonism, yeah. Right? Right. Yeah. I think you even touched on this a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, it's. I think those two philosophies have just really skewed the local church as well, too, because either you're a stoic, which is I'm into CrossFit and discipline and all these other things.
CrossFit and discipline.
And just like, okay. And listening to Jocko Willink or some crap like that. Sorry.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Dude, you just threw massive shade. Is Jocko crap? Everything I've heard from Jocko is like, he's definitely a bro, but I haven't heard anything that's like crazy. Like, is he? I take him as basically Jordan Peterson if Jordan Peterson was like a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, he's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't know. It's just annoying. I feel like it's annoying because a lot of guys, it's pretty typical in like the veteran culture.
If you've been
in special operations or if you've been at this really high position, that you get out and you do podcasts and you coach people and you just say weird. I don't know about weird stuff, but it's provocative stuff.
Okay.
Just
gotcha.
To get the likes and the.
Yeah.
And kind of the grift.
We don't know anybody so that does say. That.
We ain't grifting. That's for dang sure. Promise you that, people. We may say some hot takes here and there, but we definitely ain't grifting.
Mm-hmm.
Stoicism is kind of like, it's the new soup du jour. I mean, I feel like everybody, when John Piper was taken off, everybody was a Christian hedonist.
Right. And, yeah.
We'll do anything for the glory of God. We'll drink, we'll smoke, we'll blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, okay, just take a chill pill, right. People. So it's kind of those pendulum swings versus, I think it's just the easiest thing of just the joy comes when you can simply gather with people in any way that you can in your local church,
yeah.
Whether that be your community groups. I do a men's morning Bible study. I'm pretty fairly busy for like a local layman, to where I do, you know, a PLI thing in the evenings on Tuesday, and then we do community groups on Wednesday.
Right.
So that's two major things. I mean, Wednesday mornings, I'm also doing a men's Bible study. So Wednesdays are like a really big gathering day, in the midweek. So, but also it's just like, if you can find the time to gather with people, I think that will start to bring you joy. And when you're in proximity of other Christians and you can kind of share each other's burdens.
Yeah.
I think that helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Versus not doing that.
Yeah.
So
100%. And I think you really keyed in on it, man. Like, if we want to emphasize joy and doing things that bring us joy, it should be centered around the people of God.
Yeah,
it should be, yeah. Right. Whatever that looks like. Right. Maybe it's a one-on-one thing. Maybe it's scheduling a time to, you know, for a group of people to get together. Right. Whatever it is, it's those things within the local church that are with the people of God.
Yeah.
Right. So that we can share one another's not only burdens, but share one another's joys. Right. Because joy just increases when you're with people who are also joyful, right? And I've experienced that. I experienced that today, just simply seeing, you know, obviously the very tired and weary eyes of this new mom and dad, but also the joy that's in their eyes, dude. It gave me so much joy, and I'm still riding on it. Like I'm still in that state because I'm so happy for them, right? It affects people, right? And take time in your day throughout your week to not only, I would say, seek those situations and those occasions yourself, but also be the reason for someone's joy. Send the text, make the call, schedule the time, right? Be the reason that someone has joy today, because that's what we're supposed to do. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we encourage one another. We build one another up. We're there for one another. And yes, that's definitely through the hard times and through the sorrows and through the pain. And often that's all that's emphasized. But it's also on the opposite. We're there for each other's happiness and each other's joy and good times and celebrations, right? Let's not forget those as we go through this life with one another. Is we're called to be there for both. I just think that's really important. and something that was just kind of on our hearts today, and hopefully was encouraging to you. So take this and go be the reason for someone's joy today. Take time to have joy in the people of God today, because that's a huge part of why we're together and why God has brought us together. And it's
yeah,
I wouldn't have it any other way. It's awesome. It really is really great. So yeah. Jack, my friend, it is time for us to go record some Patreon eps, because mm-hmm. that's what we do. We do. We gotta go. Yep. We gotta go give the good stuff to our patrons. We're gonna go do a little cigar talk. We got some questions from our patrons wanting to know our thoughts, wanting to know a little how to. Jack, we're just simple men with all the answers. That's all we are. Simple men with all the answers.
Sure.
Please,
we are.
Please get us out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on what we call the sociables. Mm-hmm. The dastardly little things on our devices that get us hooked, that want us to say hot takes all the time.
Indeed.
That want us to share stuff. You can follow us on the Facebook, mm-hmm. the metaverse, if you will, mm-hmm. the Instagram that goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X. Yes, the dumpster fire that is that place.
That's right.
It's like, typical Northwest. I'm driving up north. Everybody slows down. It's a traffic jam. The accident is on the other side of the freeway.
Oh, of course.
It's and everybody wants to stop and
it's because everyone wants to watch. Because everyone's just completely dead inside. They just want to see.
Is
there a dead body? Maybe we'll see a dead body.
Yeah, 100%. That is Twitter in a nutshell.
Yes,
okay?
100%.
You want to see the craziness, okay?
And not only that, this is also Twitter. Not only that, if you're driving down the road and there's no accidents, you're like, well, I'm bored. I might as well start one.
Oh, my God.
That's also Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, if you want to engage with us on those sociable sites, you can drop us a direct message, you can ask us questions, you can tag us in whatever, and just try and keep it clean, PG rated, maybe,
yeah,
hopefully,
that's right.
In those questions or in those comments or concerns, and you can tag us at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Mm-hmm. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in other
ways. Absolutely. Well, we've got a YouTube, so you can head on over there if you would like to see this dumpster fire of a podcast, as well as listen to this podcast. You can do so. You can head over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, ring the little bell for notification, as the kids say. We'd appreciate that. Give our podcast a little rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate that as well. Helps the podcast get out to more people so that more people can be encouraged in making their local church central. Last but not least, you can follow Larry DeBold. Larry the Bold. The Bold and the Brave in joining our Patreon, the Podluck, as we have called it. For a $5 holla, you can become a Patreon supporter and have all of the rights and benefits thereon too. And our pledge, if you do, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.